Praise the Lord. It's a privilege to be able to share the word with you this morning. And this morning we have Brandon and Courtney Wood that have not been with us for quite a while. They're up here to visit me and pin me down on, Pastor, we want to get married. We want to get baptized. We want to fix this. You may remember them. He was saved in the Marine Corps overseas Afghanistan, right? And he said, he was telling me here this morning, he's got it on Facebook, he's got his testimony of what the Lord has done in his life and has expressed great appreciation for. He said he didn't know what it meant to be born again and to walk with the Lord till he came here. He got saved. But similar to, do you remember Thomas and help me? No, Thomas, the big Marine. Her name slipped my mind. It'll come to me. I've been doing this all morning, haven't I? Thomas, big Marine, baptized them here recently. Little girl, beautiful little girl. Same thing, he got saved overseas as a Marine, but didn't know what it meant, came back here. Lord led him to this church. He said, I learned what it meant, what had happened to me on the inside and how to walk and grow in it. So that is a great thing. And it's so good to have. Would you stand this morning with your love there? And let's give them a good hand clap. There you go. Thank you for that clarification. Amen. So good to have you guys here with us. Amen. Would you extend your hands towards them this morning? Father, we thank you for Brandon and Courtney this morning. Their heart desire to serve you, to honor you, to let their lives be led by you today. And Father, we just thank you for your blessing and your grace upon this man and upon this woman, Father God, and for this soon union. And Father, we just give you thanks for calling, future, a home, a place of blessing, a place of ministry, that Father God, as we receive from you, you will teach us how to pour it back out for those around us that need to see you functioning in a home, in a marriage so desperately. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand everybody to your feet this morning and lift your hands? Jesus, we love you. Come on, let's let it not be just a course. Some people say, man, I wish we had more specials. Well, you just got one this morning from Maria. That was special. Whew. I love that. I never get tired of that song. And this morning, let's lift our hands. Would you just, in your own way, let your own ears hear you say out loud, Jesus, we love you. We love you back. What a privilege. There was a time when my heart cry of I love you was a less than confident plea for, if I love you enough, maybe you'll love me more. But I'm so glad today that it's a wholehearted, childlike loving you back. Because your love's a sure deal. How we love you today. All over the room, would you just worship him a minute? Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you that our hearts are open. Our mind is alert. And Father God, we are ready to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. The spirit man's born again, brand new, saved forever. But there is a working in the mind, will, and emotions. Whereas as I am submitting to you, your word has an impact now on how I live this out. Philippians says that we are to work out from the inside out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling there is not like we would understand fear and trembling. For Israel stood in fear and trembling at the blessing and the bounty and the prosperity of God. This is Old Testament. This is not negative. This is fear. This is a holy awe and wonder of how great and how good and wonderful our God is. Working from the inside out. Father, we thank you for that process today. Another few steps on this Sunday morning as we learn and grow in you. And everybody shouted, amen and amen and amen. I know we already greeted one another, but we haven't done this for a few Sundays. I want you to move out of your favorite seat. Find somebody you do not know. Introduce yourself and let's be the friends. And listen, people that are regular here in this church, don't you dare let somebody stand there alone and looking confused. You find them and greet them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. Hey, sweetheart. Huh?
I know everybody, so I'm going to give you a hug. Love right. you. I think we're
love
going
you, sweetie.
To your house for lunch today. Huh? I think we're going to have lunch with you guys
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I haven't got to see my little buddies. Oh, how we love you. Mm-hmm. You are the one. How's Frank?
Doing pretty darn good.
I know you, but I'm going to hug you anyway.
There you go.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Huh?
Love
thank you.
Shirt.
It's one of my favorites.
I can see why.
Amen. Hallelujah. I love that sound. Fellowship. Right? I'm gonna let them roll. This is beautiful. I think that's really actually one of the main reasons we should come together after worship. This is real communion. No, you don't have to. I'm not. You finished. I'm not hurting you. I'm saying, for those of us that are, this is real communion. Fellowshipping at the Lord's table, breaking bread, and drinking the wine of the Holy Ghost. The other's a picture. This is the actual communion. I'm here glad for Jesus today. You ready, Courtney? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. Let's, without further ado, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, where we'll pick up. We're going to spend some time on this subject of the love of God, and I am not going to hurry through it. So hopefully you won't get bored, because I won't be. And so I'm going to hang out for a while. Amen. Let the love of God that is in you. Are you here today? Let the love of God that is in you come out. We're not in here to try to get it in you. If you're born again, if you're not born again, man, you're in the right place. As we end in worship and dismiss, there are a few of us that will remain here. I'd love to lead you into a relationship with Jesus. If you're not sure, if you died today that you would go to heaven, don't leave here without that knowledge. It's not hard. Here's the way Paul put it. Now, this isn't a formula that has to be done exact. I've seen people radically born again by simply just, help! And in that, there was an acknowledgement of you are the Son of God. I believe from my toes that you were raised from the dead. They don't even know when that started. Their lives were changed with nothing but a heart cry. You got the thief on the cross. All he did was turn and say, wow. You're him. That's what he meant. That's my paraphrase. That's what he meant when he said, Lord, would you remember me? Bam! The response was, this day, you will be with me in paradise. That's not complicated. But Paul makes it clear. The teacher makes it clear. He says, here's what it looks like. I'm going to break it down mechanically so that you understand what this is. Salvation comes through a heart belief that Jesus is God in the flesh, proving this in that he was raised from the dead. And those who receive that Revelation. How many know that only comes by the Holy Ghost? You can't just make a mental decision, oh, I want to be a Christian, I think I'll believe this. Everybody in here, man, you don't even know when it happened. The gospel was preached. Faith came to you. Before you know it, out of the deepest part of you, you were saying, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God, that you were raised from the dead for me. The Bible says, with the heart man believes. This is Romans chapter 10. With the heart man believes. Right? Unto salvation. And with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. Did I get it backwards? Is that right? Close enough. Heart belief, confess with your mouth. Check me out there. Make sure I don't want to tell you wrong. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. So as we move forward, did I get it right or did I get it backwards? I've been doing this all morning. Y'all pray for me. Did I say it right? Go all the way down to Romans 10 and then go to 8. Right on. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. Good preaching. Amen. Ephesians 3. We're going to start one more time at verse 14. Read down through. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody have been reading these and meditating in them. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. You can come here once a week and hear the word and get goosebumps and get all excited and say that was good preaching. But that's kind of like listening to somebody else take a shower. Go home, get in the shower for yourself. You won't grow on just what you hear me expound on here. Hear this. Go take it before the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, teach me in my time. You spend time. It's in that time that you actually grow, not here. This is a great place to receive word, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And how many know you better be checking Bubba out because I'm human and not everything I say is going to be perfect. Sometimes I misquote scriptures. I might even get off a little bit. It's your responsibility. I am not your Jesus. I may be your pastor, but you have him direct access, and you have the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And if I get off, pray for me. Don't criticize me. Amen. You all right with that? And you're responsible for your walk with God. When you get to heaven, you're not going to point to me and say, well, he's going to ask you about you. Amen. It's quiet in this Baptist church, so we'll keep moving. Of whom the whole, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Bump your neighbor and tell them, I've got a new name. I've heard a lot of people take a crack at this. I don't think we really understand the full. I don't think we will be able to grasp it until we get to heaven. But there's an old hymn we used to sing years ago when I was a kid. How about it, Marcia? There's a new name written down in glory. Yes, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. You know the rest? And the white-robed angels sing the story of a sinner come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Sins. My sins are forgiven. I am bound for heaven. Never more to roam. Right? Isn't that great? New name. Bump your other neighbor. Say, I got a new name. When I got born again, man, I was a new creature, and I've got a new name. I'm not just Bob or Jill. Jesus sees me as brand new. We're still in the Baptist church. Okay, so here we go. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Now, I know I've pounded this for the last several weeks, but I pray that it's settling inside of you. He is praying that you will be, these are big, big, big words, strengthened with might, not just any might. This is the supernatural working of God strengthening you in your inner man. For what purpose? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice that all of this, a revelation of the length, breadth, depth, and height of the love of God, and this thing that Paul described that is unfathomable to us in the flesh, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how many know your spirit man is as full as it'll ever be? It's brand new, one with Jesus, but he's speaking to the whole being. You know, we separate. Last week, I think it was last week, I touched on this just a little bit, that Scripture shows that we are a three-part being. And for teaching's sake, we make that separation. I am a spirit. I have a soul, the soul being the mind, will, and emotions. Again, as I said last week, Romans 12 speaks of that. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living. Brothers in Christ, that you present your bodies now a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? Because it's by mercy. He's just spent a lot of time speaking of grace. And then he says, don't be shaped by this world. King James puts it this way, be not conformed. Verse 2, Romans 12, if you're taking notes. Be not conformed to this world, but rather, brothers in Christ, be ye transformed. He's not talking about the inner man. That's done. He's talking about a transformation, what we talked about a little bit earlier in our worship, of the inside working out. Isn't that awesome? In that same chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you, in us, both to will and to do of what pleases Him. Aren't you glad for that promise today? That's not a threat. That's a promise. God is working. Sat it out with me. God is working in me. Even when I don't act like it, He's still working in me. Just let Him do what He does. I'm very glad for Jesus, all right? So, this here is speaking of that part of us, mind, will, and emotions, and how that causes us to act out our lives in this body, right? For the sake of teaching, we separate those three, but how many know if you take the soul away, you're dead? You take any part of those, you're gone. So just for teaching that we separate to show you that the inner man, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is brand spanking new. The outer man is being renewed day by day as we submit ourselves to the Word of God. Are you here? And the flesh, the body, which is not evil. Now, Paul speaks of a law in his flesh. He's speaking of the natural bent of our flesh towards self-preservation. That's a fancy word for selfishness. Okay, now there's an aspect of that that isn't bad, but there is a natural bent there that will take you where you don't want to go. But how many know that I am blessed, Spirit? So come on, are you here this morning, Spirit, soul, and body? And because of the redemption He's done within, God does not look at my flesh as evil. He sees a flesh that is bent towards that, in that it seeks to only serve itself. That's why the flesh never makes a good engine at the front of the train. But if you'll put it where it belongs as a caboose and let it follow, the new man being and the outward man being renewed after the inner man, then the flesh is a great servant. How are you going to preach? How are you going to enjoy life? How are you going to marry and have kids? How are you going to travel and make a difference? How are you going to have a voice? This flesh is not evil if it's where it belongs, behind. Years ago, working cattle, we had good, this is Florida curs. I know some guys right here in Arizona, by the way, that use Florida curs. Some of you are going, what? Where'd he go? What in the world are you talking about? But we had Florida curs, big broadhead, crossed up dogs. And in that country where we had a lot of wild cattle, these dogs naturally go to the head. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Ed, you know what I'm talking about. They naturally go to the front and bay up cattle and stop them. There our problem wasn't trying to get them to go. The problem was trying to slow them down. Big old tiger stripes hitting the brush, and I know. And those dogs, we trained them from the time they were little, and every dog, every cow dog, I suppose, and everything. But we taught them to, this is the term, get behind. We taught them from the time they were puppies, on a string, later with the crack of a whip. No, we didn't whip our dogs. Well, there were a few that got crazy we might have. But anyway, that's another story. And but we taught those dogs to stay right here. You could always see them in your peripheral. And as they got older, they knew when you said, go ahead, it was like somebody shot a gun. Boom! They were gone. That's a sound I'll always love. Back in the brush, looking for him, trying to find him. You say, what in the world was that? Well, if you don't know, I don't know if I can explain it. I've done a pretty good job. So at any rate, they'll go. But the thing is, we taught them. You get up there and you said, hey, Ruff, biscuit, coffee, come here, get out of there, get behind. They were there to serve my work, my direction, my desire. That's what they were there for. That's what your flesh is. Sometimes you got to tell you, it gets to barking and wanting to do its own thing and run out ahead, and it'll get you in trouble every time. Stand up and say, hey, you, get behind. Get where you belong. Get back to the caboose position. That's where you work best. This happens through the process of the renewing of our minds. But listen, this cannot become a mechanical thing. This thing of walking in the Spirit and walking in the things of God was never meant to be mechanical. It was never meant to be a legal system. God never desired to have a relation with us through the law. He did. There was a type of relationship. God, before the sending of His Son, man alienated through his own rebellion and sin, God still loved him and set the way, set the pace, set the way to establish a type of order that would allow for the coming of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Remember, it was God's idea, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So back to this whole idea. God never decided it to be a mechanical thing. And as we renew our minds with the Word of God, and as we come in here and worship together and hear the Word of God, it works best when we are walking in a love relationship. In fact, I'm here to say it doesn't work well at all without it. A love relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, preach it, brother. That's just absolutely wonderful. I believe that. What are you doing that for, honey? Get over there. I've told you before. On your way home? Well, don't do that anymore. Well, that right there is where the rubber meets the road. Right there is where you need some renewing. Calm your fanny down and let the Lord change your behavior in these little areas. Quit worrying about the big areas. When in Africa, how about winning your spouse or your children or your brother? Love. Maybe we're in a Methodist church. Woo! God bless the Methodist. Amen. Extend your hands that direction, at any rate. I'm here glad today for the love of God that broke through to you and your response changed your life. Paul says here, in order for us to comprehend, unfortunate translation, he's speaking of a supernatural revelation of the love of God that is so big, he is praying that the Spirit of God's might would strengthen you to be able to receive. He's talking about his love to you. And I'll say what I said last week. Until we get a progressive, how many know we're never going to grasp it all? I don't even know if in heaven we'll ever, ever, ever grasp it all. We're not God. He loved us. So it will be a daily living revelation born out of relationship. But let me tell you something. Until you experience that daily flow, it will be very hard for you to give what you haven't received. Just as I said last week, you can't come back from where you haven't been any more than you can love where you haven't received. And the love of God, I'm here to tell you some good news. If we get time, we're going to look at it. But Paul reveals by the Spirit, and it's found in many places. 1 John, the apostle of love, speaks of the same thing. If you've been born again, I don't care what your noggin's telling you and how angry and confused you may be, inside your new tool chest, if I could put it that way, it's much more than a tool, it's part of your nature. You just need to get your head renewed to who you really are. The love of God is already in you. Supernatural love. That's what Paul says. Paul here says that in order for you to get this revelation to, as King James says, comprehend, you must first be rooted and grounded in love. It's okay for us to sit down and discuss things and hammer it back and forth and be in, I mean, nobody's ever going to agree with everything I say, and you're not going to agree with everything everybody else says. But it's amazing how the enemy can come into a family or a church family or a Christian business or anything like that and begin to work on somebody who hasn't got a revelation of his love for them. And that insecurity drives them without them even knowing it to a place of defensiveness, feeling that everybody's out to get theirs, living a life that is reactionary instead of proactive. And after a while, people start perceiving that people are thinking things about them, and they're Don Quixote at the windmill, fighting nothing, but believing that there's so much, so many against them. Even if they are, the love of God in you can help you to rise above. Even Jesus himself taught, for you to love your brother. But I tell you, love your enemy. There is a supernatural. Let me tell you something. You don't always feel like that. I realize that I'm talking, even in this little group here this morning, I realize I'm talking to people that have been deeply hurt by people close to them. These are painful subjects in ways that maybe some of us in here could never imagine. But there is a supernatural love of God that can help you rise above and to pray for those that have abused you and wounded you and spitefully hurt you and aggressively tried to destroy your life. And you'll find it's by faith, as you move forward, stop the murmur, stop the complaint, stop the positioning, stop the defense, and begin to let the love of God. This can only be. This is why Paul said, somebody in here, it's a little uncomfortable, and it should be, because that is shocking for some of us. See, for those of us that grew up like me in a safe home, I didn't experience abuse. I didn't experience any of those things. Many of you here may be that way, but there are those in here that have experienced things that are beyond imagination. But I'm here to tell you that God really is greater, and his love really does cause you to rise above. I had a guy in his 30s, bullet holes through his midriff and legs, big crown tattooed on his chest. Great big Puerto Rican kid. Teardrops tattooed down the side of his face. Some of you in here know what that means. Sitting in a very dangerous place, I'm sitting there with that guy sharing the gospel, and at one point the devil just rose up in him and he said, "Who are you?" He stood up. I thought he was going to smash me into the floor. "Who are you to say you could help me? You don't know." He started tearing up in the veins. A big old boy, tattooed body, rose up. Man, I thought, "Woohoo, Jesus, receive me." "Who are you to say you can help me? You have no blankety blank 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 idea what the blank I've been through." And that fast, the Holy Spirit, I started praying in tongues. You hear me praying in tongues? He just backed off, settled back down, just looking at me. I said, "Let me tell you something, man. I'm here because God loves you. And you may not understand it, but the love of God in me causes me to love you." And I said, "What you just said, I understand the pain. But," I said, "there's something you're missing." And the Holy, I'd never heard anybody else say this, give this a go. It just went boom. Listen, man, you can trust the Holy Spirit to put things in your mouth. But you got to put yourself out there once in a while. Get out of your safety zone. Let the love of God. So here I am. I said, and just like that, I just started saying it. I said, "It's like this. There's a school for the blind. They want to have a special field trip for a bunch of blind grade school children. They want to take them out on a bus into the wilderness, take them back in and set them down where they can hear the wind blowing in the pines. They can hear the scream of the eagle, the yelp of the coyote, the singing of a brook nearby, a stream, to see and feel and experience something very beautiful. They go out, they have a great day. There's a miscount on the way back to where the bus is parked. There's one little 13-year-old boy that's back on the side of a ditch bank. He didn't realize till it was too late. No one heard his cries. Darkness descends upon that place. And after a while, what was beautiful is now a hideous place of loneliness and fear. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I pointed him in his face and I said, "Buddy, I may not understand how much you hurt, but I can see." I said, "Do you want somebody who can see to lead you out? Or do you want somebody that can understand your blindness?" That anger just ran right out of him. I got to pray with that guy. He said, "You're right. I've never seen that." The love of God in you comes up with stuff that you could never imagine. But it doesn't happen automatically. It takes effort. Paul here is putting forth effort. He said, "I'm praying for you. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Then he gets down to what we're looking at right now, that he would strengthen you with might in the inner man, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, let's read it, that he would grant you according, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have a revelation of the length, breadth, depth, and height of the love of God. That's pretty amazing. But the key to this revelation, we've read this promise over the last few weeks. I want to just go down there one more time and touch base, because it's quoted, extrapolated, and thrown into so many different messages, which is fine. That's a good way to preach. I do it. But it helps once in a while for us to see the exact context and see the power of what is being said. I want you to look at where we're going. Verse 20, you hear me quote it all the time, almost every week. Now unto him that is able to do. Do you have some things in your heart, some desires, people you're praying for, direction, that are just, they're a desire, but there's a misfire when it comes to imagining, could this even be possible? Some of you have been on this march for so long, you are falling into the category that Proverbs speaks of. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's healing for the sick heart when you get back into this. Here is the promise. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Who has the Amplified Bible? Mark, would you read that in the Amplified? I love it in the Amplified.
Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think.
Whoa, you got to slow down and back up and do that again. That's good
but
stuff.
I haven't finished yet.
Yeah, but that's just back up. Oh, go through that a little slower. That's awesome.
Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Can you say wow? Can you say it backwards?
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a promise, not a tease. Most of us read and hear that as a bit of a tease. Oh, that's good. I sure hope. Yeah, I know. Amen. No, are you hearing what he just said? There's a power in you. Did you hear what he said? There is a power in you. Say it out loud. Say, there's a power in me. Put there by God that is able to do. That means if it's in you, by his working. Now unto him, it's not you and your own ability. We don't need any more self-confidence nonsense. We need Christ's confidence, Christ in me. The world today is all about self-confidence. We promote those who are super self-confident. And the church now is making this mistake of promoting people who are very self-confident. And we watch people built up and they crumble away. And who suffers? Baby Christians. And built up and they crumble away. But what I'm teaching today is not self-confidence, it's Christ's confidence. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Who's doing it? Him. But how? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's in there working. Will you release it? Open your mouth, speak in faith, cooperate, act like it's done. Abraham considered not the deadness of his flesh, but believed God and glorified him. And the impossible happened. In fact, in God's mind, the impossible had already happen. That's the Hebrew language of God. For he didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to make you Abram. He said, this day I'm changing everything. I call you. It's awesome the way God speaks, and that's how we are. He's not saying, I'm gonna in the future. Kick the can down the road a little further. Hope that something happens. And someday we're gonna. Someday when my ship comes in. You have to put those things down there, don't you? And he's like, man, what are you doing, Pastor? Here, I'll leave it to you, Bob. You know what to do with it. He says, from this day forward, I call you Abraham. For you are. I have made you, actually, the father of nations. Say, what? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. We get over into this power thing. Us Pentecost, we love to quote that verse, and we get so concentrated on the power thing, we forget that the power that he's talking about is not just power. It's this dunamis that is referenced is miracle-working power, but it flows from, emanates, it's rooted in love. That's the power. You don't need your wife to get her act together. You need a revelation of the love of God. Amen or oh me. And wives, I start with him first because that's what the Bible does. Isn't it beautiful how the Holy Spirit knows our differences? Commands men to love, commands women to honor. And we got men trying to honor women, and they don't understand it. Respect. Women don't care about respect. Make me feel loved. Two old bubbas can sit down and never say three words. Pass gas and watch football. I don't care about if you love me or not, but I'm hanging with this dude. This is my friend because he respects me. And I respect him. That's a man trait generally. I know you got to be careful about stereotypes, but God knows how we're made up. Women are very different. They don't need to just be loved or be served. They need to feel. That's why God made them. That's why the scriptures is so beautiful. Thing is, you'll never know that. You'll just keep pounding away at that poor gal. I believe with all of my heart, hard women are not born. They're made that way by hard men. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. I believe that if we who are Spirit-filled believers will get a hold of these truths, it'll change the way we raise our kids, the way we treat our grandbabies, the way we treat our businesses. It'll be different in our home if we'll get a hold and understand that the love of God in us will make us wise. It'll open up our eyes. It'll help us appreciate instead of resist the differences that God put there. I hate it when I hear, well, we're just not compatible. Yeah, that's a beautiful difference. You don't bail because you're not compatible. That incompatibility, you being this and this one being this, if you'll submit to God, there's a great team going on there. Somebody's covering these bases and somebody else is covering these. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking this is why you... Well, I don't know of any marriages in here that are... Well, think of it as a church. It's amazing how little silly things can get in people's heads. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful believing one side of a story. Stay in the love of God. Don't become a garbage can. and don't be one. I'm really glad for the love of God this morning. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Once you say it out loud, there's a power working in me called the love of God. Paul put it this way in Galatians. Remember that little book we spent so many months on? He says, one line, faith works by love. This is why Paul is saying the greatest revelation you could ever get a hold of is the love of God to and for you. Because you'll never be able to give what you haven't had a revelation of for yourself. And this is where he says that this revelation comes, this power that can do that kind of stuff. I love the Amplified. Man, it just lays it out. It covers all the bases. Take a minute, would you, right now, and just meditate on that. There's a power in you that can literally change your... You can start calling some shots. Oh, be careful, Pastor Lee. God is sovereign. Everything happens for a reason. That's nonsense. We're going to talk about that in this series. We're going to talk about what the sovereignty of God is. And I'm here to tell you, I absolutely believe in the sovereignty of God. I absolutely believe that He is the ultimate authority, that He answers to no one. He is absolutely sovereign, so sovereign that He limited Himself, the only one who could do it, limited Himself because of love. I will not do this, and I decree. As Isaiah 54 says, that He's going to establish a covenant that shall be forever, a covenant of peace and of kindness. And I will never again be wroth, the King James says, angry at you. We see this confirmed and affirmed in the book of Hebrews 9, 10, and 11. Up until now, He says, it's been thou shalt. But now everything's changed because of the work of my Son, and I will be your God. I will put my words in you. I will remember never again, will forget, never remember your sin. It's no longer what you will do, law. It now is declaring to you what I will do. Now it's fulfilled in Jesus. I'm very glad for the love of God this morning. And Paul here is saying, for us to begin to learn how to release that kind of power. I'm still learning. Not every single person that I pray for do I see an instant manifestation. But I believe with all of my heart now that if I put God's word to the test and lay my hands on somebody, there's in many prayers... There is a need for some kind of reciprocation. That's why there's a need for teaching and preaching on the word, on faith, on healing, on deliverance, all these things so that people's faith is strengthened. They don't need more faith. They need their faith strengthened. You got all the faith you'll ever need. That was given to you when you received Jesus. Are you here today? You hear what I'm saying? That's a truth. You don't need more. Somebody came to T.L. Osborne years ago, great evangelist, saw more miracles than anybody I know of. He said, people will come to me and they'll say, Brother Osborne, your ministry, we just look something. I need you to pray for me. Would you pray? I mean, observe what God's doing in your life. Would you pray for me that I have more power? And he'd look at them. He's such a loving man. He says, no, I can't. He said, but I will pray for you that you'll have a greater revelation of your salvation, the love of God. He says, for Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, for it is the power of God unto your complete wholeness. You just need a revelation, greater revelation of the grace of God, His love. That's what you need. The power's there. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Might be your spouse or somebody else. Tap them on the shoulder and say, God's working in you. Tap, if you're alone, you can tap your own shoulder. God's working in me, both to will and to do. Good news. But here's the thing. You have to be rooted and grounded in love, and that's going to take some effort. That's going to take some submission to the will of God, to the Word of God. That's going to take somebody who has a teachable spirit. It's funny how I'm pastor until I say something somebody doesn't like, and they're like, heck with you. Didn't used to be that way. You're just a man like me. You bet your boots. I'm not talking about. I would never dream of thinking I was any greater or better in any way. But there are giftings and callings that God has laid in place for our protection, for our direction, for the fulfillment of our calling. And I've got people in here. If they tap me on the shoulder and say, Pastor Lee, I don't know if this is for you or not, but I just felt like the Lord said. There's sometimes it's like an electric bolt. I feel the authority of God in those words. And my heart quickly, I may not on the outside, but quickly I'm hitting my knees saying, God, thank you. Thank you for a gentle, loving correct. They don't even know they corrected me. They thought they were giving me a encouraging word, but I knew what the Holy Spirit was saying. God puts leaders. He puts together the house of God. And we're living in a time and a frame where it's just shop. Where's the best place for my kids? Where's the best place we can have, where we have the shortest service? I got a busy weekend, man. I got to go fishing. I got to go hunting. I got stuff I got to do. We got to be at this. We're going to go camping. And you know, I don't have time for no two-hour service. I mean, you know. You guys need to come up with something so you offer 14 services over 2 days so I can fit a little bit of God into my American dream. Say amen or oh me. This is where we're at right now. And you know who's at fault? Not you. Guys like me. Competing for numbers. Not right. It will fail. At some point. But Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. You love Him this morning? You're glad for the love of God on the inside of you. He says you need a revelation. But it's only going to come by being rooted and grounded. This is a process. I find it interesting. Do you mind if I just, in the few minutes we have left, just take a little diversion here, just kind of show you a little picture without getting too deep into it? Israel, if you go back to the prophets of old, you'll see that again and again, Israel is spoken of as a fig tree. You have Psalms 1, for example, that I quote all the time. Now so beautiful in the fulfillment of the new covenant. It's a good one for you to learn. If you don't memorize Scripture or haven't, this is a great one for you to know, to rehearse, to meditate on here. And it speaks of meditation, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. It goes like this. I haven't said it in a while, so here we go. Blessed is the man. Let me back up and make this what was being said. Blessed is anyone. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I'd love to break that down for you. There's beautiful application to everyday life, but that's not what this morning is about. You can see that for yourself. But rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. This man that meditates in the law will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. This is an old covenant promise. And there are those that want to just do away with the old covenant altogether. You can't do that. The law gave way for us to receive the new law. Like David, how I love thy law. The Ten Commandments, I see in it the heart of God. Now, do I have relationship with God now through the law? Of course not. For Jesus, Paul said, was the end of the law for the one who believes. But it's still predicated on his system of perfect, holy righteousness. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which brings forth fruit in season. His leaf will not wither. Gray hair on your head is not a sentence of withering. Challenge that in your thought life. Challenge that by the love of God on the inside of you. Challenge that. Don't just sit and let it wash over you. The Bible calls that a crown of wisdom. There's still great purpose, vitality in life. His leaf will not wither. And whatever he puts his hand to shall prosper. These are the promises of God. Now I want you to see something there though. David was a different kind of cat. He was called a man after God's own heart. He knew after his major failure, to say the least, he deserved death. But he punched through to a covenant beyond his time and tapped into the love of God, the grace of God. It's mind-boggling to me that somehow God seems to give David a pass. But the thing is, we got to remember, God has never changed. He always was. John says he's not a God of love. He is love. So David is seeing something beyond his time. He's climbing into things that don't really belong to that period. But God will not withhold his love. He's speaking in what he only understands. He says, blessed is the man who delights. I'm skipping verse 1 and we're going to jump forward. Who delights in his law. You guys have heard me say it in here before. The law there, the word, it's Torah. If you study out what that means in the Hebrew mind, it means instruction toward Messiah. Prophetic words. There was a relationship with God through the law, but there was no intimacy. But somehow David broke through and found a place of intimacy with God ahead of that covenant, because God is who he is. He hadn't changed. It's an amazing story. David speaks of a tree, speaks of the law, speaking forward. David saw things. I don't know that he actually saw them. He was prophetically mouthing things that were supernatural. Over 83 specific prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, our Messiah. In the book of Psalms alone, Psalms 22, he's speaking at a time of trial and struggle, and the Spirit of God speaking through him specifically speaks of nailed, scarred hands, a spear thrust in his side, and the bulls of Bashan, a reference to the Roman soldiers who cast lots for his garments. There's no way you could ever, in a million years, do that without the Spirit of God. Supernaturally spelling out. David reached forward beyond. But most of the rest of Israel, their relationship with God was through the law. It wasn't personal. It wasn't intimate. It wasn't close. There were those that tapped in. There were others. You read the story of Samuel. Fascinating thing that not one word hit the ground. Elijah. Elisha. But something about David and his revelation of Jesus. But most of them understood, and even David, from afar, through the law. I find it interesting that Paul here uses the terminology, and we see it in more than one place in Scripture, where he says, you need a revelation. I'm praying you're going to need the might of God to expand you, to be able to receive what God wants to put within you. Can you lift your hands this morning and worship for a minute? Man, the presence of God is in here. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'll take more. But David said, how can I repay you? How can I repay you for all of your benefits? In the next breath, he has the answer. I'll lift up the cup. Greatest way you can compliment God is take more. I'll take more. Come on, people. I'll take more. I'll take more. I'll take more. Show me. Grow me. I'll take more of your love. That's the key. A love that is gentle but not weak. A love that has power but is not destructive. A love that is strong when it needs to be. Tender when it must be. Come on, people, lift your hands. Baptize us this morning afresh and anew with your love. Expand us. Grow us. We've been concentrating for so long on the wrong stuff. How we love you today. I find it interesting, people, and I'll try to finish up with this. He shows Israel as a tree. And there's a day when he's with his disciples, and this is found in Mark chapter 11. He's on his way to a place called Bethany from Jerusalem. And he sees a fig tree afar off. He's just not telling a cute story to demonstrate how powerful he is. Zap, you're dead. You didn't have anything for me to eat. Bam. Shazam. That's not what was going on there. He was God in the flesh. There were things working in the unseen. Everything was bending. God's plan was getting ready to come in full force. His love story to the world was getting ready to burst forth through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God to be exalted, the last high priest who sits down. Our great high priest, the only one who qualified, for he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He's walked there before us. And when we say, I can't, he says, yes, you can. Follow me. Amen. You love Jesus today? I find it interesting that they're walking along and they see a fig tree, green and full. walks up to it, and it looks like they look for time. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this, but there's actual something that happens with the fig tree and why this takes place. But I'm going to skip forward for the sake of time and just say this. It's according to you. I can't believe the way time flies when you're having fun. You having fun? Here's the deal. A picture of Israel. A tree. Ahead of its time. Looks like it offers everything. But when you get close, there's nothing there to eat. There's no substance. It looks like the answer. This is a picture of the system of the law. And I find it interesting that Jesus, because this is what he did, he speaks of judgment coming to Israel because they have rejected the plan of God. And he speaks in terms of himself returning. This is the final work, the end of the old system. Hebrews says, this will end as by fire. It literally did. If you study Scripture, quite literally. The temple destroyed. Jerusalem destroyed. Untold fire. Big timber stacked up on limestone blocks that are this big. Exploding as they tried to boil under intense heat. Josephus writes of the terror of those days. A lot that we don't understand there. The system that was broken, that was never God's plan, had to be stopped so that the fullness of the times could come. And Jesus is speaking to what looks like a beautiful full tree, but has nothing to offer. And he curses it. Never from this day forward shall anyone. There was a time, in part, it had its place, but it's done. Never shall, this is unfruitful, its time is done. Never shall anyone eat from this tree again. The next day as they were returning, Peter pipes up. And notice that nobody said a word when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Nobody said anything. They were just like. The next day returning, Peter pipes up and says, Lord, look, the tree you cursed. Dead. And the scripture states, for it had dried from the roots up. I find it interesting that now in a new covenant, now in the fruition of a new kind of tree, he is the vine. You are the branches. His desire is that you bear much fruit. A new kind of promise that he was presenting in John 15:7 when he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Everybody wants to talk about the will of God. Well, there is a place for that. But the new covenant, Jesus is turning some things around and he's saying, I'm going to delegate power to you. I'm going to give a piece of my sovereignty to you. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. All power has been given to me, he told them, the disciples. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. Go ye therefore. It's a pretty awesome stuff. A tree withered from the roots. I find it interesting that the roots had to be dealt with for a system that wasn't working. And I also find it interesting that now under new covenant, we are to be rooted and grounded, not in law, but in love. For faith that moves mountains works, Paul said in Galatians, by love. When you get a little lost in theology and somebody's firing too many scriptures at you and you feel a little overwhelmed, go back and meditate on these verses. I'm out of time. Go back and meditate on these verses. We were going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 today. We'll do it next week maybe. But I believe we went where we belong today. How many got something to take home with you today? Oh man. Oh man. The love of God. Now when you read that verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly Olive Anderson above all that we could ask or think. According to the power that works in us, I believe when he and I stood in agreement, there was a turn in the spirit. Rejoice. Father, we thank you today for your great love for us. As we move through this, I want to talk about what the love of God looks like and put the emphasis more on us receiving, but then begin to turn it around as John did and say, if we have received what was so totally undeserved, we have the supernatural ability now to give to the undeserved. That's what brings what people call revival. I don't believe in that whole thinking anyway. I believe revival's within you. It's just when a group of people finally get over themselves and the past and starting what letting what is already in them flow. And then people call it revival. I don't need revival. I'm alive. I just need to live in that life. I almost detest the talk of revival because it's a whimsical, nostalgic pointing to the past. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Excuse me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Alive unto God. Breathing and flowing up. Are you awake now, brother? Me too. He was not sleeping, I promise. I just realized what I said. You got to sound like you were sleeping. He was not, I promise. I just saw him jump. You glad for Jesus today? Take these things home. I encourage you. Pull out 1 Corinthians 13. Get it off your stinking wall. And get it in your heart. Oh yeah, the love chapter. It's flowers and beautiful, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep it up there. That's great. But oh, so often we just become something we're so used to. I've said it for years and I'll say it again. The word of God that becomes cliche for you loses its power for you. No cliche for me. This is the only time I feel like it's appropriate to say it's all good. Oh, man. How do you stop? Father, thank you today, beyond our words, beyond this setting, even beyond ourselves. If we were to continue to read, we'd see that this love surpasses knowledge. That's because there's two kinds of knowledge. There's mental assent and mental understanding, and then there is an understanding that is brought by revelation of the Holy Ghost, a different kind of knowledge. E.W. Kenyon talked about two kinds of knowledge. Father, I thank you today for knowing an intimacy that makes all the difference. Working from the inside out. For these things, we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I hope you received something. I know I did. Preached myself happy and pounded my own toes. I'm going to have to go home and do some work. You know, it does work that way. One at you and three back at me. Let's stand to our feet, lift our hands as we go. As we sing this song, the front is open. I'm going to remain here. John, you can get off this. John, are you still in here? Wave your hand. Can you come up here and join your sweet wife?